Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving, coming again soon, and He's moving mightily by His Spirit. The Lord is able to do wonderful things through those who trust Him and believe Him and obey Him. I always talk about those things, about obeying God. But if there was ever such a time, it's now. Forget the past. Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What happened in the past has happened in the past. All the wonderful successes and all the miserable failures and everything that went wrong, is leave it in the past and let the past be past and last. And I'm not the first person to say that. I heard my pastor say that. Makes sense too. When you follow God, you're always operating anew. You're doing new things, greater things, and even blessed things. And as you go forward doing the Word of God, you find out for yourself that it works. And it works good. As we obey and follow God, we learn new things that can't be reversed. And God is so good. He thinks of everything. And the more I follow Him, the more I'm amazed I am at His ways and how He works. How He works things through and how He works things out. It's very amazing to me. Now, the last broadcast, we talked about how the enemy has worked against mankind with dead traditions that cannot work. And he's worked against mankind in every way there is. And he's done much work to get people off track. And once something's in motion, it's hard. It can be very difficult to get on the right track again and believe God for better things. When the things of God are not done by the masses of people, when the things of God are not openly done, and you can't see the Lord guiding you, you can sense His presence, you can hear His voice. And from there, you have to obey Him. Well, every time you obey God, you're putting something in motion. You're doing the wisest thing. And people are not always used to the wisdom of God. People are used to what they do, what they approve, what they think. Pride looks within. And then people are looking at what other people are doing. When God is guiding you to do something and it goes totally against the world system, it goes totally against the world system, which cannot ever work, people look for approval in men, and then they get in fear, because those who, I always say, fear looks to man. I got that from the Lord, and this is why it works that way. Fear looks to man because people are looking for approval. Instead of following God, they're looking for the approval of men, and it's a failing way. The ways of men will always fail. If the ways of men would work, then your life would work. But the ways of the world can't work. Only God's ways work. See, whatever you look to, and you allow it, and you govern yourself by what you trust the most. You can see men, you can't see God. So never underestimate the persuasion of men. It's very heavy. But when you trust the Lord, your God and King, even though people are saying no, and there are many people, there's only one God, or they say, I'm not so sure about that. When you look to men, the reason people get afraid is because they feel like their reputation is on the line. But I like what my pastor said. He said, if you're dead to sin, a dead man don't have feelings. And you have to learn to govern your life according to the Word of God, even when it's not popular. When you look to the Lord, sometimes you have to just trust Him. You have to take Him at His Word. If the Lord tell you something, you have to believe He told you the truth, because He can't lie and He can't do you wrong. And if you can follow Him, if you can just do it because He said it, you're going to be fine. But the persuasions of men, they do it the way that they understand, the way that they approve, the way that they know, the way that they think they know. And some people, you know, they see your point when you say the Lord told you to do this. Well, it's wise, but they can't approve it because they don't know how, because God didn't tell them. They don't have a revelation of what God said. Adam had a revelation of not eating off that tree. Eve didn't. Adam told Eve, the Lord said, don't eat off that tree and don't touch it. He told her not to touch it. You know, and the Lord said, if you eat off that tree, you'll die. But He told her not to touch it, which means to me, she was interested. But because she was holy and hadn't sinned yet, she didn't eat off it on her own. She was persuaded. She was tempted. And then she looked at it over the word that God had given Adam. But to Adam, it was revelation. To Eve, it was just an instruction from her husband. So when the Lord gives you something to do, that is revelation to you, and it's not revelation to others, unless they have ears to hear. See, people who follow God, they understand that there's revelation to the instructions of God. And they're not as fast to say, well, I wouldn't do it this way or that way. They'll encourage you to keep stay in prayer and keep doing what God said do. I know I will. Because I've had the Lord tell me many things, and I endeavor to do His will. And then people that I love and care about try to talk me out of it. And they don't know what they're talking about. They have no revelation, and they don't mean any harm. I'm not even upset with them. So I learned the hard way. Many things I did, I learned it the hard way. I learned to be quiet about the things that God gave me to do. And don't depend on anybody else to understand or believe me or help me. I learned to be silent when it's necessary. And I ask the Lord my questions, and He gives me His answers. And I patiently wait, and I do it His way. And then I get results. When other people would quit, I keep going. And I listen to the Word. When my pastor speaks, I listen to everything he preaches. And it just fans the flames of my faith. And not just him, other men and women of God at church and on the radio and TV. See, when you're following God already, and people are seeking the Lord also, the Lord will cause them to say things you need to hear. But looking to men without looking to the Lord, or looking to men against the Lord, it causes fear. It causes you to fear what they're saying. Well, I don't know about that. The doubtful tone. It has killed more operations of God through people that didn't know how to follow him. Good people. The Lord promoted them. And then they looked to men and they depromoted themselves. Or they stalled the work. Or they made it harder than it had to be. That's why I said you can't look to men. That leads to fear. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. If God told you to do something, do it. It's going to work. It's going to be good. Just keep looking to him. And then pride looks within. Well, I don't think. Well, how smart are you? How much education have you had? What can you do? What proves that you know what you're doing? If you're trained in an area, there's always, and you're good at what you do, and you're wonderful at it, and people come to you from miles around, that doesn't mean that there's no room for improvement. Always do it God's way. Sometimes I'm sure I know what to do. I feel it in my heart. I know what I'm doing. And I ask the Lord anyway. Even though I know what to do, even though I had success in the past, I ask him so that I can do better. I said, Lord, what should I be doing? What's a better way to do this? I ask him about things I know about. And sometimes, you know, he'll just have you to continue what you're doing. God is wise. But the proverb says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Lean not to your own understanding. So he loves you and he'll tell you the best way to do things. And sometimes you have to be promoted, or sometimes you have to get to a point where you're here. And sometimes things happen that arrest your attention. And you know you can't do this without God. So you ask him. And then what he tell you to do makes so much sense in the spirit, but it goes far beyond the intelligence of the natural. And if you keep on following the spirit of God, it's so much better than the natural that you know about. After a while, you will start asking the Lord the best way to do things. So many people are so certain that that everything they're doing is perfect. All right, let's look at it from another angle. Jesus never had a problem healing the sick and raising the dead, only in his own hometown. But I don't care what people had, even if they were dead for days, like Lazarus. He didn't have a problem getting them out of that grave. Now, I can do all things through Christ, but of myself, I know for a fact I don't have half of those skills. But in a pinch, I can look to the Lord and I can get something done. Or I can believe God and ask him for what I want done. And just by me asking and being in faith about it, whatever it is I lack and don't understand, the Lord has people that do. I can pray in the Holy Spirit and get the job done. If I have faith as the size If I had faith the size of a mustard seed, I can put something in motion. And whatever I lack, it doesn't matter what it is, the Lord is able to help me get the job done. And he'll work with that faith. And that faith will get to the size it needs to be through praise, through worship, through studying the word, through obedience. This may take some time for me, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And even if I was to fail trying, I can still get the job done, because failure is not the end of it. And in every emergency I ever had, sometimes all I could do was say Jesus, and then he would help me, like the motorcycle wreck. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, you never have to be limited by the opinions of men. People do that willingly. They doubt is always a chosen thing. people doubt against God. Doubt is always against the wisdom of God. Uncertainty. People have uncertainty. And I understand uncertainty. God understands their uncertainty. God understands their lack of knowledge. He sympathizes. I'm not saying that people are wrong. I just said that people, they mean well. And they're used to giving, trying to help. People try to help. I know people are going to try to help. I've done it before. But after learning about the Lord, I started being slow to speak and pay attention. After I experienced him myself and the way that I was treated many times, you know, I'm used to the routine. You know, I'll use this analogy. I used to drink a lot of, I used to love to drink juice before I go to bed for years. Now, I would always brush my teeth and then I would use Listerine, but I would drink juice before. So it caused me to have cavities. And I had so many cavities, I can tell you what the dentist is going to do. I just about know his procedure. You know, the good dentists, they hide the stunt, the needle. They take the swab and deaden your mouth with the gel. And they wait about 3 or 4 minutes, maybe 5. And then they come back with that needle. And the good dentists, they don't let you see the needle, so you won't get alarmed. And you barely feel it. I know what they're doing because I've been to the dentist a lot of times. I still got all my teeth, so I have plenty of fillings. I know the routine. And then they grind out the old cavity with a coarse grinder. Now, it's small to the eye, but you can tell that it's coarse. Then they use the fine one to smooth it out. Then they clean it, and they dry it. The assistant will blow it with air, and they'll dry it. They'll rinse it and dry it. Make sure it's completely dry, and then they put the filling in, usually amalgam, or now that they have the better kind. And then they mold it. Then they put the sleeve on it before they, I missed a step. They put the sleeve on it. Then they put the filling. Then they mold it. Then they have you to bite on that plastic and grind your teeth from side to side. Now, I can remember, that's the routine. So when the Lord give me something to do, I know my loved ones. I know the people. I know what they're going to do. So I, you know, used to, I would get excited and tell people what the Lord was doing. Then they'd tell me how they do it. And maybe I ought to do this first. Maybe I ought to do that. And before you know it, you didn't get anything done. Because they doubt against you. They can't see God using you. They don't know your prayers and your honesty before the Lord. They don't know what you've already done. They may think you just got called and you think you're something that you're not, and you're trying to go out here and do this assignment. But they didn't see the time you spend hours in prayer seeking the Lord. You spend hours studying for years. They didn't know that I used to, every Friday night, I would get with my friends at church and we clean the church. It helps us. We wanted to serve God. We couldn't preach yet because God hadn't called us to the ministry yet. So, you know, I started going to Refuge Temple in 83, November of 83. I didn't get called to the ministry till 87. So the years in between, every Friday night, we would get together and clean up the church. And then we'd get something to eat, maybe go bowling, and then go home. And we had fellowship. And we talk about the Lord and the things that Bishop Bonner was doing. And we had a glorious time in the Lord. And when Elder Lewis would get ready to preach, the church would be nice and clean. We would vacuum the whole church. Then we would wipe all the pews down and clean the baptism pool in case somebody got baptized. Everything was nice. They didn't know. See, when the Lord called you to the ministry, if you notice, he called people that were doing something. Now, my pastor said the same thing. He said, when they get ready to take a ship off dry dock, they get it moving first. And once they get it moving, then they can steer it where they want it to go to get it in the water. Now, if you're already in motion doing something, the Lord can steer you into His perfect will. So by 1987, the Lord called me to the ministry. And it surprised me. I didn't think I was ready. But I had come to a point where I would listen to Him, in part. And it was enough to get me started. And I knew I didn't know what to do. And He knew how dedicated I was. So He called me to the ministry. And I went, the enemy started fighting. And I went through all kind of things, like I explained on these broadcasts. And I always, and the way I survived it and learned to thrive is because I kept asking Him questions and stopped looking to men. And I stopped going by my own opinions. A system of things happened to get me to that point where I would follow. Now, if you follow Him from this point on, if you decide I'm going to obey Him, I'm going to follow Him, I'm going to do it God's way, then even though you didn't do all those things that I did, God, if you have ears to hear, He can use your life right now and cause you to do what's necessary in these last final moments. God loves us. You don't have to do what somebody else do. But if you get to the point where you'll follow God on your own with dedication, my friend, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Any Christian can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. But they'll never know it unless they start obeying Him. Now, so I went through all the I made plenty of mistakes. A lot of times in testimonies, people talk about their successes, but I made mistakes too. Sometimes I listened to people and delayed the progress. One time I knew that I needed to study the Word of God, and I didn't have a strong habit system, and I kept being interrupted. And I didn't realize it. Somebody would run out of gas. Every time I say, I'm going to study. I'm just going to devote my time to studying the Word. And somebody would call that from the past and just start talking. And I didn't develop the habit. The Lord showed me that I had bought a motorcycle. And I let somebody ride. And they took advantage of the fact that I let them ride. And they rode it. And they came back much later. They were supposed to just ride it down the street and come back. They kept it till I got off work. And I was very angry with this person, which I believe that's the guy who stole it later on, because I believe he went and got a key made. And then I had to forgive him. So I was real upset with him. And the Lord said, the way He's done you, that's the way you do me. And that's the first time the Lord got on me about studying. He wanted me to spend time with Him. And I knew this. So I tried to. But I didn't. You know, if somebody run out of gas, somebody want me to pick them up from work, and I didn't get in the habit of it for years later, my life might be very different right now if I had started on time. Because in order to follow God, you have to have roots. You have to have the Word rooted in your heart. You can't just say, I'm going to follow God, and you don't know Him. So relationship is very important. But eventually, I started studying the Word of God back in 1990. Now, in 84, I had bought that motorcycle. But in 1990, the Lord told me to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. And He brought me up to speed. See, when we grow from glory to glory. And when you follow God, you follow Him. But the strength of your faith is the Word of God that you did receive in real time. Like this, just remember, everything that God does, He does it well. He thinks of everything. So whatever He give you to do, whatever He revealed to you, whatever He alert you to, it's going to work. You have to follow Him. Learn to hear Him out. Sometimes you'll hear me say, hear Him out. This is why. Sometimes the Lord will tell people things, and they get so excited, they jump up and run and begin to tell people before they get a firm understanding of what He wants done. Sometimes you have to spend time in His presence and ask Him questions. Because eventually there's going to be some things you didn't think about, and you're going to try to figure it out. That's another deviation point. If God called you to the ministry, He has something in mind for you to do. And you'll have to follow him to get to the point that you get to what he really wants done. Now, let's say you're starting out just like Apostle Paul. They still called him Saul, Barnabas and Saul, remember, in chapter 16. We met him as Apostle Paul in prayer. He and Barnabas, they were prophets and teachers. But he's about to go out and begin a ministry with very little money in the bank. Now, I'm not talking about his natural account. I'm talking about his spiritual account. When we first met him, he was holding the coat for the men that were stoning Stephen. Now, between the time he helped the men stone Stephen by holding their coat, he didn't actually throw the rocks, but he was forgiven. But he heard Stephen preach, and the word got in his heart. And those were the pricks that Jesus referred to. Why are you kicking against the pricks? Well, he got saved. And the Lord trained him 3 years in Arabia. So he had very little money, wealth, in his spiritual account. His first assignments began to put wealth in his spiritual account. And the road ahead of him was difficult, but he loved God so much it didn't matter. He worshiped God in the worst of times. And he obeyed the Lord. And he developed more and more. And he was very effective. And the Lord chose him to write most of our New Testament, or much of our New Testament. And I thank God for every apostle and their words and their writings and their wisdom. The anointing is still in their writings. See, the anointing don't die. The anointing that he had is still alive in the Word of God, doing the works of God. We bear fruit after our kind. So we have to follow God's road, not man's. Now, those who listen to these broadcasts often, they know this. The Lord thinks of everything. He will help you grow so that your fruit will be better off. Remember, before Abraham had his son Isaac, the Lord told him the year before Isaac was born, he said, be perfect, because at this time next year you'll have a son. And he was about 100 years old. He was about to conceive Isaac. So the Lord told him to be perfect, on purpose, with intent. Why? Because we bear fruit after our kind. To that point, he came to a point where he learned to follow God and trust him. And you never saw Isaac having a problem obeying God. Isaac did. He was very obedient. He's one of the most obedient men in the whole Bible, beside Christ. He's one of the most. From a child, he was very obedient. He took his father's sayings very serious. He was the son of promise. And this is why God cut covenant with Abraham. Abraham loved this son of his. He loved this son that was always so obedient. And then he had to go sacrifice him. And when he drew the knife back, the Lord accounted what he had done for as righteousness. And he made a covenant that is still in effect to this day. Every everlasting covenant, God has kept his part of it for Abraham. Now, the nation of Israel, they deviated so many times, but even the way God dealt with them and helped them survive, it was out of that covenant that he cut with Abraham, and the blessings that Jacob, which became Israel, spoke over them. God doth, he thinks of everything. So it's no different with us. What he called you to do, when you're following him, follow him systematically, obey everything he tells you to do. And go far beyond the expectations of men. I'm just saving you some headaches. You're going to have to tell some people what God told you to do, such as your wife, your children. You're going to have to tell people what God told you to do eventually. But by all means, do it God's way. And you don't have to tell people when it's not necessary. Tell them when God tells them to tell you to tell them. And don't count on your own. Don't trust your own instincts and what's in your heart and mind. Trust God first. And always trust His word. And after you put the word in your heart, trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And don't, you know, you learn not to look within. And if you don't look within, you really won't have a problem looking to man. If you continue to look to the Lord, you're gonna do it the right way. You'll be on God's road. And it can be totally different than what you expect and what others expect. Henry Gruber was called to prayer walk, and he became so effective. One man told him to stop, go get a job, digging ditches, and stop deceiving God's people, because he couldn't see the vision. He didn't have the revelation. God has done so many wonderful things with Henry Gruber. Some people will say, well, who in the world is Henry Gruber? Go to Japan and ask somebody in Japan. He is a blessing. He has walked the streets of the globe. And I thank God for his testimony and the miracles that were done by his hand. Ask the people in Taiwan, who is Henry Gruber? Go to YouTube and you know, go to joyfulsound.com. That's his website. Every Christian need to hear what he has to say. Following God comes out of relationship, living with integrity and honesty and devotion toward God. If you can do that, you can follow him without a problem. If you can love God, you can follow God. Whatever you love the most, that's what you're going to trust.